Good to be with you this morning. We're going to be once again studying some of the great men of the Bible, as we have been for the last few weeks, and hopefully we'll continue. And today we're going to take a look at Moses. Now you think about all the people in the Bible that stand out. There's hardly anybody that would stand out more than Moses. You can think about, if you could just go back and look at the Bible itself, the first five books of the Bible are often referred to as the books of Moses. You can think about the great covenant that God makes with Israel. It's called the Law of Moses because he's the one that brings it down. Throughout the Scriptures, you're hard to find someone that's spoken of more or held in higher esteem than Moses. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Moses is mentioned 20 times. And you wouldn't even think about it. But throughout the Bible, throughout Scripture, Moses is there. So for a few minutes this morning, we're going to take a look at the life of Moses. Most of us, are pretty familiar with the story of Moses. Children of Israel were in Egyptian captivity, and the Egyptians decided they were getting too many of these Israelites, so they started killing off the babies. And Moses' mother and father, they hid him for a couple months, and then they put him in a little basket so that Pharaoh's daughter would find him, and she does, in the little ark in the river when she goes down to bathe. And Pharaoh's daughter takes Moses into the palace and raises him as a prince of Egypt. And then after, when he's roughly around 40, he actually goes down to be with his people. And we'll take a look at that a little bit. But then he's forced to leave, and for the next 40 years, he works as a shepherd. Until God calls him by the burning bush, and most of us there again remember the story of the burning bush. And God calls him, and he leads Israel for 40 more years, and leads out of Egypt into the promised land. This really a mob of people, and through Moses' leadership, they become the nation of Israel. So we'll take a look at that for just a few minutes. And we'll take a look at a few different passages. The first one comes from Hebrews, and it gives us a brief summary of Moses' life. Notice what the Hebrew writer says. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful and was not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered reproach with Christ greater than the wealth of the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking forward to reward. The idea of looking forward is one of the ideas I hope you'll see throughout Moses' life. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Now the Hebrew writer touches upon a couple things in Moses' life I'd like for us to just think about very quickly. The first one, Moses was actually raised by his own mother. If you remember the story, when Pharaoh's daughter finds him, she asks, you know, who's going to help me raise this? And they actually send for his mother to be the nursemaid that helps raise him. And you see that throughout Moses' life, he had a foundation of the knowledge of God beginning from his childhood. And the importance of raising children up to have that basic foundation. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses basically is his farewell address before the people go into the promised land. And notice some of the words of Moses here in Deuteronomy. He says, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine." Moses is talking about the very words that God had given to him. "In your heart, in your soul, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking with them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by your way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, you're always to be bringing these before your children. We're to teach our children, and we're to set that example for our children. One of the things you'll see in Moses' life is he had that firm foundation set for him by his mother, and it stayed with him through thick and thin. And he goes through thick and thin if you go through his whole life. And so the first thing I like to see with Moses is the responsibility it places on us as parents, and for some of us, grandparents, to make sure our children know these words, know the teachings of God, and are brought up with that right priority in their lives. The next thing in Moses' life that Hebrew brings out is Moses had a choice to make. When he becomes roughly 40, he names himself with the children of Israel. He makes that choice to leave the palace and to live with the children of Israel. And then he ends up going into exile. But the idea that is brought out in Hebrews is that he makes that choice. Our lives are such that there are times in our lives we have to make choices. Now, sometimes we don't even think about those choices and we kind of drift along. Hebrews even talks about that if you go through in chapter 2, that we can lose our salvation by drifting away from it. We have to make choices in life. And sometimes those choices aren't so easy. It's easy to choose the things of this world. And a lot of times the things of this world seem to be important to us. And they seem to be the things that we seek after. But there's times in life we have to choose which path we're going to be on. Are we going to be on a worldly path or a spiritual godly path? Jesus says there's two roads. There's an easy road that you can just sort of drift along. But the end of that road is destruction. But there's a narrow road that leads to life. And that's the road that Moses chose. And that's what it talks about in Hebrews, that he listened to the one who was invisible. He knew about God. And he chose the things of God instead of the things of this world. Now you think about it a little bit, it's easy sometimes for us to make that decision. But for Moses, Egypt was one of the most powerful and richest countries in the world at that time. And he was a prince in Egypt. He had everything this world had to offer. But he chose to leave that to be numbered with his own people. And so sometimes in our lives we have to make decisions. And sometimes they may not be that easy. But we have to think about what road we're traveling. In 1 John, a book we looked at a while back, notice what John says about the things of this world and things that are of God. Do not love the world and the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, are we have things we want, right? The desires of the eyes, we see things and we want what other people have. And the pride of our possessions, just that idea of what we've accomplished. These are not from the Father, but these things are from the world. And the world is passing away with all its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. We have to make sure, what are we choosing? The temporary things of this world that do bring some happiness perhaps now, or the things that are eternal. Moses made that choice, and it lives with him, and he goes through his life that way. When we take a look at his life, we see that. But I'd like for you to also take another look at Moses' life. We think about how great Moses was, and truly he was. You know, he's one of the two people in the Bible that's talked about as being a friend of God. You think about that. A friend of God. Abraham and Moses, only two people. In fact, in the book of in Numbers, it says that Moses talked to God face to face like he would sit down and talk to a friend. That's the kind of relationship Moses had with God. So much he had to veil his face when he came in front of the people because he had been so close to God. That's what Moses. But there's other aspects of Moses' life, too, that I'd like for you to see. And that brings him maybe down more to our level. One of the first things we read about Moses' life is when he chose to go down and see what was going on with the children of Israel. And he goes down and he sees what's happening with his own people. And one of the Egyptian taskmasters is beating an Israelite, and Moses kills him. I guess he lost his anger or in rashness. But he kills him and he hides the Egyptian. And then the next day he goes down and the other Israelites say, you know, you're going to kill us just like you did that Egyptian? Stephen talks about this. And notice how Stephen presents it for us. In chapter 7 of Acts, we have a real good discussion of so much of Israel's history. And notice how Stephen talks about Moses. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. And he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was mighty in words and deeds. That's an interesting idea that you'll see later on in Moses' life. When he was about 40, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. On the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, are you brothers? Why are you wronging each other? Why do you wrong each other?" But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, "Who made you the ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. And actually lived as a shepherd, basically, for the next 40 years. But I'd like for you to think a little bit about what we read there. You can see that Moses acted hastily. He didn't think about maybe the consequences or why he killed the Egyptian. He lost his temper. And we see that in Moses' life, it's not always as smooth as like we like to think about him being. At the very end of his life, we see him again act hastily. Now, this is when he was a much younger man. He lives 40 years in the desert and learns probably a lot of patience being a shepherd. I don't really know what it would be like to be a shepherd for 40 years, but that's what Moses does. But God calls him from the burning bush, and he goes to lead the people out. And close to the end of his life, after leading the people roughly for 40 years, they come to an area called Meribah that doesn't have any water. And the people are getting really thirsty. Their cattle and all their animals and stuff that they're bringing along are dying. They're really in a desperate way. And they call out to Moses and say, "Why did you bring us out here in the desert? And now we don't have any water. We're going to die. Isn't it better just go back there to Egypt?" And so Moses goes to the Lord, and the Lord tells him, "Go to the rock and speak to it and bring forth water." And this story is in Numbers, and notice what's said. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the people together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank from the and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given you. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through him he showed himself to be holy." Now, look at what Moses does here. He's been leading the people for a long time. This is the same Moses that for 40 years has led the people. This is like a year or two before they go into the promised land. It's at the very end of this long journey. And he basically loses his temper. We think about where he just struck the rock, but it's more than striking the rock. Because you notice what God says, "You did not uphold me to be holy before the people." Well, a lot of the people may not have been able to actually see what he did. If you think of all the people all around there. It's the idea of really how Moses does it. He calls people rebels. These are the people of God. This is Israel. Not only calls them rebels, but he said, "Well, we bring forth water from you." He did not give the credit to God. And he basically loses his temper. If you look over in Psalms, notice what Psalms 106 says. "They angered him at the waters of Meribah, and it went ill for Moses on their account, for they made his spirit bitter, and he spoke rashly with his lips." Basically, Moses lost his temper. And because he lost his temper, he did not uphold the Lord to the people of Israel like the Lord wanted him to. If you look at Moses' life, we a lot of times realize what a tremendously great man he was. But in other ways, he wasn't so much different from you and I. He lost his temper from times. Sometimes he acted without thinking or like he should have. He's just like us. And sometimes we look at people like Abraham and Moses and we think about how great they were, and they were. But they were still people just like us. And they still made the same mistakes that you and I make. One of the other stories of Moses comes in chapter 3 and 4 of Exodus, I'll relieve you a little bit. I wasn't going to read these whole chapters to you. I'm sure you wouldn't have liked that. But do go back and look at chapters 3 and 4 of Exodus, because it's the story of the burning bush. And most of us grown up have heard that story. I hope you've heard the story before. Moses is a shepherd out with his sheep out in the wilderness, and he sees a bush that's burning pretty brightly, but it doesn't change. It just keeps on burning. And so he walks over to find out what's going on. I mean, you know, things could get caught fire, but they usually burn out. But this bush is not burning out. And the Lord speaks to him from the burning bush, and he tells Moses, I'm going to send you back to Egypt to lead my people out. But I want you to notice Moses' reply to that. When he first hears that, he looks to the Lord, and he says, who am I that I should go up to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? But the Lord said, I will be with you, and I will be the sign to you. In other words, God tells him, I got your back, Moses. I'm going to be with you. But Moses says, who am I to do that? Then the next verse he says, if the people of Israel say to me, who is this guy that told you to do this? What am I to say? He said, I don't have the right words. I don't know what to tell them. And this is, of course, the great passage where God said, I am the I am. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will be with you, Moses. Don't worry about this. And Moses keeps coming up with different excuses. And beginning in chapter 4, Moses said, behold, what if they don't believe me and listen to my voice? And they say, the Lord really didn't appear to you. Moses keeps coming up. Now think about what's going on here. Moses is not just talking to somebody like you and I. It's not like I go up to Moses and tell him, you know, Moses, you need to do this. This is God speaking to him from the burning bush. And he sees the miracle of the burning bush. I mean, he knows he's talking to God. And yet he comes up with excuse after excuse. He says, what if the people don't listen to me? And so God gives him a sign. He says, throw your staff down. And if you throw your staff down, it becomes a snake. Now pick it up by the tail and it becomes a staff again. That's a pretty good sign. Can you imagine that? I mean, most of us don't think a whole lot of snakes. I don't know. And this is going to be a big snake because his staff, he's only 6 or 7 feet. And he throws that thing down and there's a big old snake down there. And he picks it up and it's back being a staff. That's a pretty amazing sign, wouldn't you think? Then he says, put your hand in your cloak. And he brings it back out and he's got leprosy. Well, the one disease that was dreaded back then, it was leprosy. Put your hand back in and bring it out. And now it's clean. These are two major signs. He said, you show these people that. They know that I was talking to you. But Moses still doesn't say that. He doesn't let up. He says, but God, I don't speak very well. I'm not eloquent in speaking. Now, we don't know exactly what Moses means by that. You notice back at the very end, what the Hebrew writer, or Stephen says, that he was trained in the Egyptians and were powerful in word and deed. So Moses was a very intelligent guy. And he had all the wisdom of the Egyptians. But now he says, God, I'm not eloquent and I don't speak very well. We'll look a little more at that at the end of our lesson today. But God says, well, Moses, who do you think made you speak? Now, I don't know if he just means he didn't actually speak well verbally, or maybe doesn't think well on his feet. Some of us don't think well on our feet. Sometimes, you know, something happens, or somebody's talking to us, and we say, boy, you think about it later, if I wish I had said something a little differently. Because we don't always think real good at the moment, right? And I don't know if that's what Moses meant, you know, I don't speak good on my feet, or I just don't speak well in public. I'm not a good public speaker. But for whatever reason, he has one more reason not to be the one to go. But God tells him, no, Moses, I'll be with you there. And then at the very end, he comes up even with, after all of this, Moses at the very end says, God, can't you send someone else? That's an amazing thing to see what he says. But then it says, the anger of the Lord kindled against Moses. It was like, Moses, this is enough. Of course, Moses does, of course, we know, go. But it says the anger of the Lord. It's like the Lord said, you know, Moses, you've won too many here. This is enough. You're going to be the guy that goes. I brought you to this point. And one of the things I think you see is that God did exactly that. He brought Moses along, so he was the perfect one to go back. He had been in some ways both camps. He had been in Egypt for 40 years. Then he had been out living as a shepherd, basically like one of the children of Israel for 40 years. So in that respect, he sort of had, he was the perfect go-between between Israel and Egypt. And in many ways, he's a pre-picture of Christ in that respect for us. And so here was Moses now, prepared to go back. But I want you to think about what goes on in those chapters. And you think about our own lives and how we look upon things. And sometimes we see challenges in front of us and we think we're not up to that. I don't have the knowledge for that. I don't have the ability to do that. But the Lord tells us He will be with us. And just like He was with Moses, He will be with us. If you look at Moses' life, for 40 years, he leads the children of Israel. They're always sort of against him that whole time. He's got a lot of friction, but he leads them. He forms them from really a mob of people, of slaves, into a nation when they go into the Promised Land and cross the Jordan River. He leads them. He's deliverer of the very covenant of God. What we call the law of Moses, but the great covenant that God makes with Israel, came through him. As we said, he was known as a friend of God. We can think of all the great things about Moses, but if you look at his life, the excuses that he makes to God, and even the rashness that he has at times, you see, he's not that much different from us. It's not like Moses is some... He's just like one of us. And I think the one more you study the great men of the Bible like Abraham and Moses, we're going to take a look at David and Nehemiah in the weeks to come. Though these guys did great things, they were just like us. They had the same problems that we have. They sometimes doubted themselves. They sometimes acted rashly. They sometimes lost their temper. They had the same problems that we have. They weren't any different. But they had one thing that you can see, and hopefully we bring this out, is they had that non-wavering faith in God. They always believed in God as their rock. And you see that in their lives as they go through. A few things, and the lesson is yours this morning. We look at the life of Moses. We see the importance of bringing our children up with a true knowledge of God. That they know the stories of the Bible. That they have that faith that God is truly one to look after His people. And we keep the right priorities before our children. We ourselves have choices to make in life. Sometimes we have to decide on where we're going. Because sometimes we kind of drift along. That's one thing when Jesus says there's two roads. One that's really wide and broad, and it's easy to sort of drift that way. That's the way of the world. There's times in our lives we have to choose. And we have to decide, are we going to go after the things of this world? Or are we going to go after the things that are eternal? The things of God. And we have choices to make in life. And they're not always easy choices. But normally, if we look to the Lord, we can make the right choice. We need to always believe in the future. And our reading today talks about that Moses did the first Passover. The idea throughout, you see that Moses was always looking ahead. He knew that God was promised in the Promised Land. Moses never even get there. But he would journey for it. But he knew it was there. He was always looking forward. We think about the three great Christian virtues: faith, hope, and love. And we talk a lot about faith. We talk a lot about love. But do we think about hope? Hope is what keeps us going. Because we don't hope for the things of this world. We hope for the things that are eternal. And we need to always keep our minds on those things. Looking for those things that are eternal. And those things come from hope. And as hope should be the idea that builds your faith to keep you always looking for the future. One of the ideas in Hebrews that we looked at a few weeks back, if you remember Abraham and Moses, the great men, they did not receive the reward here. They were always looking forward to that heavenly kingdom. And you see that in Moses' life. He is always looking forward. And he always knew who holds the future in our arms, in his hands. And so we need to remember the idea of hope. And the last thing we see with Moses is that sometimes the task before us may seem more than we're up for. with anything. Well, you know, I don't have the right words to say, or I don't have enough knowledge, or I'm not able to do this or do that. And we don't think we're able to do the tasks that are set before us. But we have the Lord. And one of the great passages that we've come to, as a preacher, this is one that I always liked. Beginning of Romans, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Sometimes as a preacher, you realize that maybe I'm not going to speak as well as other people. And some preachers just have better ways of speaking than others, more charismatic. But the power is not in the preacher. It's not in us when we teach other people. The power is in the gospel. And that's one of those great things. Moses says, you know, he wasn't a good speaker. You go back in Paul's life in Corinthians, he brings up the idea, he wasn't a trained speaker. The power is not in us, in the way we word things, and the way we present things. The power is in the message. We are being given that gospel. We've been given the very message of God. And that's where the power lies. And we need to think of it. We may not think we have the talents to do the task in front of us, but we have our Lord with us, and the power is in the Lord, not in us. And that's why even when we're weak, we can be strong, because the strength comes from God, not from us. And hopefully you see that in the life of Moses. You go through and look at all of his excuses, and then you look at how it all plays out through his life. He becomes one of the greatest leaders really the world has ever seen. Yet he's always known as being a humble, a very down-to-earth kind of guy. And you see that he is mostly just like us. He wasn't that much different. He made some mistakes, but he always had that faith in God. And hopefully we can too. This morning, think about your life and the decisions that you're making. Are you on the path that leads to eternal life? There's a path that leads to life, and the path that drifts over here to destruction. And we have to make sure we're on that right path. If you've never chosen to get on that path, there's never a better time to be baptized into your Lord and Savior. If you've already started on that path, but you haven't been as faithful to it, He's always there. God is always faithful to bring you back. If you need to come in any way, won't you come? As together we stand and sing. All right,